I have a subject that I'd like for us to consider tonight. It's something that this next week, none of us will be exempt from. Every one of us will deal with this subject. And we can say, oh no, I'm in control of my life. I can pick what subjects I deal with. This one right here we will deal with before we leave this service. And that's the subject of thoughts. I'd like to consider that subject tonight. I'd like to first of all take a look at a couple places where God lets us know what He's thinking. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, God is speaking. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. I've got an expected end. I want to bring you to an expected end. God has thoughts that He's thinking about us. So as I looked at that chapter right there, it also, He said He had thoughts of peace to bring me to an expected end. He was talking to the children of Israel and they were in captivity. And you look at those verses and He was just telling them, you'll be in captivity for 80 years. It's going to be a long time before you come out of captivity. But I want you to build houses. I want you to settle in. You know, sometimes we can have trouble come our way and I only see one thing that I'm going to think about. I want deliverance from this trouble. And He was letting them know, you'll be here for a while. So just get settled in and build your houses. Raise your children. Seek the peace of the city that you're living in, because it's going to be in that peace that you will have peace. And that's when God said, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking toward you. But there is another verse that has come to my mind this week. Psalms 139 and 17. This is, Psalms 139 says that it's David's psalm. And in the 17th verse, so David is saying, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How precious are thy thoughts. How great is the sum of them. And so then I start comparing myself. What about my thoughts? If God were to take a summary of my thoughts, would He be able to say my thoughts towards God? Would He be able to say, how great, Dan, are the sum of your thoughts about me this week? Or, you know, sometimes we have a lot of things going on through the week. We're very busy and our mind is occupied, and to the point that I can even come to service on Sunday morning and it is hard to shut it down for a little while. To be able to, when I leave the service, the Lord could say, Dan, your thoughts for 2 hours were constantly upon me. You know, I have to do some working sometimes with that because our thoughts just want to run. Yeah. Well, here He was saying, how great is the sum of them? So I kind of take this as a challenge. If God were to take inventory of my thoughts towards Him, how great would be the sum of it in a week's time? There is another verse in Psalms, the 10th chapter, because this verse goes clear over on the other end of the scale. Psalms 10 and 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. He just doesn't spend time thinking about God. And I don't want that to be my testimony. God is not in all of my thoughts. And it doesn't have to be wicked things. It's just, I don't want to get so occupied with a lot of other things that if God were to take an inventory and say, you know, Dan, this past week I've been keeping track of how much you thought about me. Yeah. And it maybe wasn't enough. There are a lot of people with their thoughts consumed with a lot of things today. This is football season. And you know what? There are a lot of people whose thoughts are consumed with sports. They can know every member of a team and what his performance has been this year and last year and expectations that they have. You know what? That takes a lot of thought process, storing away statistics and all those things in your mind. It's something that's very important to them. A few years ago, the Thunder basketball team came to town. So many people were excited about it. They were just, oh, if I could just get to go to a game, it would be wonderful. Well, a tenant, I guess, felt sorry for the maintenance guys down there in the shop and came down one day with tickets for every one of us to go to the Thunder basketball game. And he brought, I guess he thought we would jump up out of our chairs and be so excited to get them. And he brought it down and he's holding them. You know, he expected to see excitement. And one of the guys, he has no desire for sports at all. He didn't get up. He just looked up and said, I don't even like baseball. Well, it's a basketball game that's going on anyhow. And the guy said, that's not baseball. That's basketball. He said, they're both the same to me. You know, his thoughts, he wasn't consumed with sports. He didn't care about sports at all. It didn't make him any difference. And you know, that guy walked out with those tickets, which I didn't want it anyhow. He walked out with those tickets and he never came back to offer us a chance to go to a game again. But you know, so this guy, he was not consumed with sports. And you could think, oh, that was wonderful. But you know what he was consumed with? He's a single guy. He was consumed with video games. He could play video games from the time he got off work until he had to get up to come back to work the next day. And about that time, there was something being sold called the Wii. Some set of games that you could get. And there would be grown men at work that you could play it's an imaginary guitar. And you play it against something and you can score points if you improve your performance. And he came in, I mean, he was dragging about Wednesday. And he said, I've got to quit this. He said, I started on like Friday night with this little old game here. And it was, my points got a little better and a little better. He said, I played it all weekend. And I guess you really even do like you're strumming the guitar with that game. And by Wednesday, his ratings had gone up, but he was exhausted. You know, those things are out there to where if it's not one thing to consume my thoughts, it's something else. You know, I thought about just something as simple as the Sunday paper. You ever look at the size of a Sunday paper? That thing, if you rolled it up, it's like a little log. It has, and what is the purpose of a newspaper anyhow? It's to give you plant thoughts in your mind, whether it's the sale paper of it or any part of it. That whole thing plants thoughts in our mind. Now, are they all bad thoughts? No. But they are thoughts. And every time I have a thought planted, it's taking the place. You know, it's using up a little bit of storage there. And so as I look at this subject tonight, I don't see it as a straitjacket that, you know what, if my thought goes to anything but God, then I'm in trouble. No. What we want to have is that I would be able to start training my thoughts, be able to take them in a direction and not feel guilty if, you know, I can get up. I have the, just listening to news, you know, news plants thoughts, and we're coming into election time Tuesday. You can start having thoughts churning of which way all this is going. And it can take up a lot of your space in your mind. But this one right here, David, as he wrote this, he said, how great is the sum of your thoughts about me, O God. And then I looked at what caused him to think that. In the 14th verse, what he was doing was, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So he started looking at just the what all is involved in the human body and what it takes to make everything operate. And he started saying, I tell you, because of this, God, you have put a lot of thought into it. How great is the sum of thy thoughts. So I was looking at another word, meditation. That's not just a passing thought, just something that comes and it's gone in a few seconds. But it said it's a continued thought. It's serious contemplation. It's when I start just keeping it with me and thinking about it for quite some time. In Psalms, the 19th chapter, this is a prayer that's being prayed. Let the Psalms 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I would like all of the thoughts, and especially those that are continued thoughts that carry on for a long period of time, and they're called meditation, I want those to be acceptable in your sight. Now, here's another one that he was talking about, meditation. In Psalms 119, 119 and 97, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable. And you know what? I can know for a surety that all of those thoughts that fall into this category, oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Those thoughts are going to fall into the acceptable category that God has. And then one more that I was looking at on meditation is the part that I love, Psalms 1 and 1. This man has chosen to not let his thoughts go in a lot of directions. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what? All these things have a thought process to them, and he's choosing to stay away from them. But it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know what? I would like to, and that's going to take some training of my mind to be able to do that, because it is so easy for my mind to run off in different directions. How can we do that? There's something that I have to start out with to be able to guide my thoughts in those areas. And I was singing of a verse of a song, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet, I'm thinking, Lord of thee. You know what? To turn my thoughts toward the Lord, I've got to get things quiet. I have got to turn off a whole lot of other things that are noisy around me. So I was thinking about life lessons. To be able to take my mind in a direction, you know, we've got work that we have to do, and we have to think about that work. But what if during that work, thoughts about that work could cause me to think about spiritual things? I was thinking of this. Jesus so often told us about parables. And you know, a lot of those parables could have been this person's job. This is what he did for a living. You remember the parable that we hear about the sower went forth to sow, and it tells us all the different grounds that he sowed on. You know, that could have been somebody's occupation, and that's what they did for a living. And you know what? And they could do that day after day and never think about anything farther than just the seed that they threw out there and whether it produced more fruit or not. And Jesus took the story and then said, you know what? If your thought process will work right, you will start thinking about this over here. You will start seeing that, you know what, this hard ground is this. This one that has the tares is this. And he gives an example for those. And as I heard that, and the story also of the tares and the wheat, and you remember where the servant said, we see the difference in them. Should we go and pull up the tares? And he said, don't do it, lest you would destroy the wheat also. And so as I heard that, I went out, and it was wheat season. And Cheryl's uncle had a field close to us where he had planted wheat. And in the wintertime, all of it was green. The whole field was green and looked great. And you know what? It looked great until harvest time, when the real wheat started turning brown. Yeah. It's ready for harvest. But then all through the field, you could see green still growing. It's brown right here, but here's something that's growing that is still green. And he had a name for it. In the Bible, it says it's tares. He had a name for it that was cheat. It's not good for anything. It's going to cause your crop to be less valuable. But it's a weed that happened to get in there with the seed. And when it was all planted, now it has come up together with it. And so I thought about those parables and how maybe we don't have that as an occupation, but maybe we have other things that happen in our life. And can those things cause me to turn my mind towards spiritual things, things that just happen in my life? Romans in the 8th chapter and in the 5th verse. Talks about our mind. Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Yes. They that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yes. To be able to have a spiritual mind where it produces spiritual thoughts. I was thinking about Noah. It said there was wickedness all around him. The imagination of the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. And right in the middle of it, Noah was able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord and to continue with the job that he had for all those years and to spare, have his household spared at the end. Brother Marty preached a message one time how that we need to take advantage of situations, things that would give us an advantage over the devil. You know, there's a verse that talks about lest Satan should get an advantage over us. It said we're not ignorant concerning his devices. So then we ought to be able to take advantage of the devil. And this is one place that it's real important for us to be able to take in control. To be able to take everyday happenings and be able to turn those into spiritual things. King David, if he had been able to have a spiritual mind, here's a place that is a tool for us. It would have been a tool for him back then. And I want to be able to use it in my life. It's in 2 Corinthians. The 10th chapter and the 4th verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what? My mind can be a stronghold. The thoughts that I'm thinking can become a stronghold. I can think them so much that I have now decided what you meant when you said what you did. Or I can just look in your eyes and know what you're thinking. You know what? My mind can keep on churning until it has me in trouble. But this one said, I tell you what, we've got some weapons. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Have you ever had them? I think every one of us have had them. I can look at a situation and I know what direction it's going to go. And usually it's always the worst thing that could happen. That's got to be the way it's going to be going. But this one says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, training my thoughts to go in a different direction when I need them to. As I thought about this, I thought about Heather. When she was little, she wanted a horse. If she could just have a horse, that would be great. And so we got a horse. And it was a little short horse looked like this will be a perfect one. She can be able to ride it. But it had not been ridden so long that it was not trained. And I didn't know a thing about training a horse. The only thing I could do was the horse would follow you wherever you went if you had it on a lead rope. So I would put Heather on it and I would lead her to the far end of the pasture. It might be 800 feet away. Turn the horse around and I say, Heather, hang on. And when I let go of the lead rope, the horse would run as fast as he could run to the shed and go stick his head in the corner of the shed. And if we wanted to ride again, I'd have to walk up there and get him and go back down to the corner of the pasture and let him go again. You know what? That is really the way sometimes my thoughts are. You know what? Sometimes because I haven't trained them, that horse probably could have been enjoyable to ride if we'd have known how to train him. And I'll just give you this as a side. I finally told Heather, I said, okay, Heather, I said, I'm going to ride this horse. I almost would touch the ground with my feet if I could sit on him, but not quite. And so Heather told me, said, Dad, no, do not do it. Said, you'll break his back. And I said, no, I won't break his back. He can just walk if he wants to walk or whatever. But I couldn't get my foot over him just standing there. So I went and got me a 5-gallon bucket. And that was just right. I stepped on the bucket, put my foot over him. And I'm sitting there, and he probably didn't want to go then, but he just stood there for a little bit. And she said, Dad, I can't watch. So she put her hand over her eyes so she wouldn't see what was going to happen. And he didn't want to run, so he just took a couple steps, and then he turned to the right. Well, I don't know if you've ever tried to sit on a barrel, but to be able to stay on a barrel, I wasn't able to. And I didn't have the 5-gallon bucket to stand on. And so he turns and I just start rolling over the barrel, but my foot won't touch the ground. And so I crash on the ground just like it had been a high speed crash. And Heather hears the noise and she looks and says, Dad, I don't think you will hurt him because I can't stay on him. But you know, I just was not able to train him to do what we wanted him to do. Never did from the beginning of it. And you know what? That same thing can be where our mind goes. I never quite get it trained to where I can bring it into captivity. And I'll tell you where you can check for success. And I have found out that I have a ways to go yet. Is it 3:00 in the morning when a thought comes in your mind and there's not a thing you can do about fixing it at 3 in the morning, and yet it just churns in your head. And maybe it won't be just, and you're just about to get through with that one and go back to sleep, and another one pops in. It just is one after another. Maybe that just comes with age. I don't know. But after a while, you're sorting these thoughts. It's just one right after another. And so I look at the topic that we're talking about tonight of bringing into captivity. And you know what? To really be able to do that, we're going to need the Lord's help. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I can will it, I can want it, but I can't do it without the Lord's help. Maybe I can have some success, but you know what? I need the Lord to be able to give me the power that I need to be able to take some thoughts and say, okay, we stop here with this thought. And I was thinking about it there with King David. Now his went on into areas of sin. But you know what? If he would have stopped a thought, he had no idea. This thought, unchecked, is going to run me way down the road into sin. Well, maybe we would say, oh, I'll never go in that direction. But I tell you, we can have some things that a thought, unchecked, can take us into areas to where we have built up some big castle of a problem when it was a very small thing at the beginning. And so I'm saying, Lord, help me. And there's a verse in Philippians. Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 5th verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is not saying you are responsible to make it happen. It says all I need to do is let it happen. So maybe what I need to do is just clear out some things so that there's room for it to be able to happen in my life. Let this mind be in you. So I was thinking about us being able to take advantage of situations that happen every day. I don't know if you've read this book before, but this man had written several, and one of them was, it was Philip Keller. And he wrote a book, Lessons of a Sheepdog. Yes. And it was kind of interesting. You know, he applied temporal lessons and picked up spiritual applications from it. Some things that I'm able to profit from spiritually because he was able to take temporal situations and get a spiritual thought from it. And if you remember reading that book, it told about him going and getting the dog, and the dog was worthless to him, kind of like the horse was for us, except that he knew the direction that he wanted to be able to work with that dog and be able to get something from him. And it didn't happen in one day. And you know what? When I want to make some changes into bringing into captivity thoughts that are running loose in my head, it won't happen overnight. It's going to be tomorrow when they try to come back to me again, I'm able to steer my thoughts in another direction. And as he was telling in this book, it was days and days and days. In fact, when he first released the dog from having brought it home, the dog just ran away and was gone for days. I think there were several days that he never even saw the dog, and he thought, you know what, he's just gone for good. But then he would see him way out there looking, so he would put his feet out and just continue until a long time later, he's got a dog that is of great value to him in taking care of sheep. And you know what? It will be great value to me to be able, especially in the days that we're living in, to be able to bring into captivity some thoughts that want to run loose. So there's a question for me. Have I been able to control my thoughts and turn them to spiritual things? Or do they just do like that horse? They just go wherever they want to go, and I follow along behind them. I believe the Lord has something more for me than that. And Brother Leslie comes up to my mind because he would tell us in Sunday school lessons years ago that there were so many things that as he looked at this, it immediately brought a spiritual lesson to him. He could just sit down to breakfast and reach over to get him a slice of bread. And it wasn't just bread that he thought about, I'm going to make me some toast. He said immediately, he's thinking about the bread of life. If he went to get him a drink of water, it wasn't just, you know, I'm real thirsty. But instead, he would go, his mind would go to the fourth chapter of John where he asked for water. Before it was over, he's telling her, if you just knew, there's some living water. And his mind would go to that. He said if he reached over to get some salt to put on his food, immediately the verse would come to him. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith will it be salted? Taking advantage of situations. Taking advantage of where the devil would like to take control of my mind and not just, and see, here's the thing. If we say, well, is it sinful or is it not sinful? No, I don't want to keep sinful thoughts in there anyhow. But it can be just things that occupy my mind that have no spiritual value to them. In fact, they can be a hindrance to me spiritually on some thoughts that I allow to go. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and I believe Satan wants to work in this area. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know where he wants to start? In our thoughts. He would like to be able to start there. There's another little saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, it's important for me. I'm going to fill my thoughts. My thoughts are going to be filled with something. And I thought about this little parable that God, that Jesus had given. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh about seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I'm going to come back, and he finds it empty, swept and garnished. And I just thought about this with the subject that we're talking about tonight. You know what? I'm going to need to fill my mind with something, because it's going to get filled with something. There is going to be something that comes back. Because on this one, it said the unclean spirit found it empty, and he said, I'm going out. And he got seven other spirits more wicked than himself and came in. Last state worse than the first. Well, I don't want that to be what we say about for the Christian. But you know what? I need to fill it with something. And so I think about the verse that says, Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How did I hide it in my heart? It's the thought process. When we teach our children, I want you to memorize this Sunday school verse. There's a reason for that. So that it would be part of the thought process someday when the devil comes to tempt them, that a verse would come back to them again. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, and sometimes we can think, well, you know what? If you're tempted, you must not be living too close to God. Jesus was tempted. It's what he did with it. And you know what he did with it? He had some things stored in his mind. He didn't have to go say, you know what? I'm going to go read the scripture because there's surely a verse that would apply to the temptation you're bringing. He didn't have to because it was right there. It was stored away in his mind. And I want to be able to have that myself. It is our protection. Think about the news. I've heard in this past year of term fake news. And you know what I'm finding out? I think there was a time when news was given just to tell you what happened. But you know what? We're living in a time where news is given to lead you in a certain train of thought. It's no longer about that this just happened, but we want to put a little bit in there to start your mind heading in a direction that this must have been the reason for it happening. I need to be on guard of where I allow my thoughts to go. Even the thoughts of the condition of our country. You know, there are some thoughts that are not going to profit me at all. There's only one thing I can do about it that is positive, and that is pray. You know what? That is the thing our country needs today, is prayers sent up to God. Because I can look through the news, and I can spend all day long trying to process whether this is fake news or if it's really real, or if it's someone trying to influence me to believe a certain thing. Or I can say, Lord, tell you what, our country is in trouble. Would you please look down in mercy upon us? And would you help me and shield me through this time that we're going through? You know, we can look at this and say, well, that's almost fanaticism. To be able to get a hold to your mind and say, this is not profiting me. I'm not going to go down this road anymore by God's help. I'm going to turn it. You know what? That's what forgiveness is. When I have been done wrong, it starts a thought. Immediately, it starts a thought. And you know what? That thought may be true. 100% true, truth about it. But it's, where is it taking me? And what is it going to cause in a long term? And that's where Peter was talking to Jesus, because you know what? When Peter said, how often should I forgive somebody that trespasses against me? Seven times. You know what? That's a lot of thought process of someone doing you wrong. You're thinking about it, and then you choose, okay, I'm going to forgive them. Seven times in a day. And Jesus said 70 times seven. In other words, as quick as it's done, release it. Don't let it continue on. And you know what? We're living in a time where there is a lot of wrong being done to a lot of people. And it's going to start a thought process in people's minds, in our nation today. And we're going to have to bring those things into captivity. And I don't believe that it's fanaticism to say, Lord, I want you to bring into captivity the thoughts that are running through my head. There's a verse of a song that says, guide my thoughts. Is that possible? I believe it is. For my prayer to be, Lord, guide my thoughts, lest they should wander to the empty dreams of earth. You know, I can just have thoughts about the future. There are people that spend almost all of their thought planning for retirement. It is what consumes them for their work and everything. And it is something that does need to have thought given to. But this one says, guide my thoughts, lest they should wander to the empty dreams of earth. Let me on thy goodness ponder, yea, on things of heavenly worth. So I thought of another example of a life lesson. We needed some more pasture for the horses. And so fence needs to be built. And you know, that's never a pleasant job, pulling barbed wire and getting scratched and driving T-post and all that. So I can spend my day thinking about how rough that is. Or kind of like Brother Leslie, what about if while I'm driving those posts and pulling that wire, what about if I start thinking about, you know what? I need boundaries in my life. If I just turn that horse loose in this field because there's more grass for him to have than what I'm going to be fencing, I need boundaries. And you know what? I need good boundaries. I remember a time I had some of Heather's cows in a little area, and they had eaten the grass down, and I had a field full of grass grown up tall. But I had no fence to keep them in. And so I thought, you know what? These cows would be so happy to get down there that they almost don't even need a fence. If they just had a little something to tell them, don't cross here, stay down here where you got plenty. That's going to be good enough. So I even ran them down in the pasture so that they could go ahead and start eating while I'm going to take this one strand of barbed wire. And I'm going to even do my T-post at about 50 foot, just enough that it'll drape across there. Because there'll probably be no way that they'll even come to that fence for weeks. There's so much grass down there to be eaten. You know what? I didn't get the other end of it hooked up until they were jumping the fence. And can you get a life lesson from that? Sure can. How often God has given us plenty. And the devil wants to tell me about something over here to go to. Another life lesson. Cheryl's grandpa told me about this. He said, you know, I went out to the pasture fence. And he said, one of my cows had stuck his head through the barbed wire and was looking for a little bit of grass on the other side in the neighbor's pasture. And he's right up against a post. And said, then he's looking around here after he eats that little bit of grass, and he sees grass back around this post. So he's got his neck turned all the way around the post, eating on the side that he was in all alone. You know what? There are so many places that we can pick up a life lesson. You know what? If I'd just be satisfied with what the Lord gave me to start with, instead I'll be getting a crick in my neck, reaching out here for a little something, and then reaching back in for what God had provided for me all alone. So there are boundaries that God wants to put in our life. So when we read the verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, can we say, you know what, I am so thankful for that boundary, because I see more than just God just does not want me to have enjoyment. Think about the prodigal son. He did not see that as a safe boundary. His father's keeping me in. I just need my money and I'm going out into the world. But it cost him. And there are examples for us today. I am glad that we don't have to go through the trouble ourselves to be able to profit from it. I should be able to look around me because there are a lot of examples for me today. I'd like to look at another verse in Proverbs, 24th chapter, and the 30th verse. You know, talking about looking at things and they don't give us any good thoughts at all, something that would help me. Here's one. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. How many of us may be traveling along, we can look over at someone's house and we see this thing is all grown up and it could look beautiful if they had spent some time with it, kind of like this story here. And maybe we just drive by thinking, you know, it'd be good if you'd mow that thing, but we really get not much thought from it. But this one said, he looked at it. It was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof and the stone wall thereof was broken down. But this 32nd verse is what is impressive to me. I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. So, you know, to the young people tonight, you don't have to do like the prodigal son and say, I need to build some experiences. If you will just take a look around you and consider it well of what you see from other lives and choices that are being made. I looked upon it and I received instruction. And the instruction he received was a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth and thy want as an armed man. To be able to let daily events and the daily events of other people around me provide value to my life. The wages of sin is death. You know what? We're being shown that by life experiences every day. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes. You know what? I've watched some people grow old loving the Lord and being able to have their thoughts turn toward Him. Yes. And they're enjoying life. I see that with Aunt Nelda. Enjoying the life that God has given her and looking forward to the day that you get to go home and be with the Lord. Yes. You know, Brother Marty one day told us he called a man that, brother that lived up on the mountainside early, early in the morning. And he said, brother, what are you doing right now? He said, I'm sitting on my front porch watching God make the morning. And so, you know what? He wasn't just, well, if it get a little more daylight, I'll get out and get my work done. But instead, to be able to, thoughts come to your mind as you see the day coming on. You know what? Each one of us see it every day. Does it cause our thoughts to be turned toward God? If we're not careful, we can get so busy. I've got this appointment that I've got to make. And I never noticed if the sun was shining or if it was raining. Or just the things that He has provided us. You ever stop long enough to take a look at the detail of a flower? You know, you see some little places in a flower that it's got to turn your mind toward God. I want to encourage you because I want to work on it myself. I want to be able to bring into captivity thoughts. Because I tell you what, my mind is going to be full of something. It's not going to be running on empty. My thoughts are going to be running in some kind of a channel. When it goes into places to where God gives me a warning, this can take you in a wrong area. Unforgiveness is one of those areas. And I want to say, God, I want to be on guard. I don't want to catch it after it's progressed for a year. Lord, I want to see it right at the very beginning and help me to move from that. That verse that tells me, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. You know what? All of that happened in the thought process. And it all started with one thought. And that thought could have been 100% true. But there are things that the scripture gives us. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I want to bring into captivity my thoughts. I want them not only to please the Lord, but I want them to also be of spiritual profit to me. I want to be able to see the Lord in more things around me. I want to be able to see Him every day in the things that I do at work, at home. I want my mind to be able to be turned to spiritual things because that's profit for us then. I desire your prayers.